This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC.
We
your number one spot.
What's good? One more time, just because we in here on the holidays, man. We welcome you in here to the Monday, December 16th edition. Final full week of D-Lo and KC for 2024. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst. The absolute worst. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend, man. We appreciate you for tapping in and being in here with us. And well, there was no Kings game last night, or the night before.
Kings, once again, haven't played in forever.
No 49ers, no Raiders, just football and basketball. Well, and it wasn't bad.
Well, we got a marquee game on tonight. Ain't that what it
was? Shout out to our man. Shout out to our man Brandon, who's just trying to put the game over.
He just that's his job. You know, yeah. That's his job. He's just trying to do his job, man. He's
just out here lying to the people, huh?
You guys aren't tapped in for Desmond Ridder versus what, Kirk Cousins?
Bro, that's crazy.
Desmond Ridder revenge game?
Are we sure it's Kirk Cousins? Question mark.
Yeah. Then they come out earlier in the week and they're like, nah, it's not time yet. I thought somebody.
Oh, are we already benching him?
Or Kirk Cousins?
Well, no, they were asking for Penix.
Got it.
Have you seen Kirk Cousins' numbers?
Yeah, but I didn't think we were at a point where it's like, all right, get Michael Penix.
Bro,
he has
like zero touchdowns and 10 interceptions in the last 3 weeks.
This is Kirk Cousins.
That's insane.
Kirk.
Yeah, that is absolutely
That's not
going
to get it done, big dog. That's not going to get it done.
They have played themselves like right out of the division race. I mean, they're still in it. Shout out to my Bucks.
Well, those are your boy Baker
yesterday. Yeah,
now you're doing work,
man. We'll dive into all of that. All of the, I mean, Eagles and Bills—they're the big storyline coming out of yesterday. I got questions specifically for you regarding what we saw last night.
Okay,
with the Packers and Seahawks, and then we got the Kings tonight. Five-game homestand begins with the Denver Nuggets. A couple of games against the Los Angeles Lakers here this weekend, or this week, excuse me. LeBron James returned to the lineup yesterday. Anthony Davis had 40 in the Lakers' victory last night.
I was watching that game. Anthony Davis was spectacular. I do have a question about AD. I was watching the game, and I asked, my wife was sitting right there, and do you think Anthony Davis is a hypochondriac?
That is not a question that has ever crossed my mind, to be honest.
Well, I only ask because, so a hypochondriac is someone who perceives, has a fear of being injured or sick, or perceives they're sicker or more injured than they are in actuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I'm watching the game, right? And AD, just typical AD stuff, right?
This feels so mean.
Well,
I think Casey's onto something.
I mean,
it's so mean.
It feels mean, but it would actually probably explain what happens a little bit more, because he gets hurt, right? He hurts his shoulder. That's where he's laying on the ground, and the trainers come over there and they're checking him out, and he's laying on it. Oh, my shoulder. Oh, my gosh. Gets up, walks to the tunnel, walks to the back of the locker room, right? And I'm like, damn, AD got hurt again. That's crazy. And he comes back in about 15 minutes, and then is just killing.
I'm not even lying. I was legit going to ask you if AD like went back to the locker room. He does that a lot.
Yeah. He went back and is just, and then comes back into the game like nothing's wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't feel any pain or discomfort or anything. But, like, if you watch him, like, he doesn't mess with the shoulder at all. Nothing. He just fall away. Just, yeah, yeah. Talking crazy to John Morant's dad. Just, yeah. Dunk. All this. That's the first time it hit me. It's like, is Anthony Davis a hypochondriac? Because how many times has that happened? Where, AD's down. Oh, he's going to the locker room. This doesn't look good. 20 minutes later, he's back on the court.
AD is the player version for how Reggie Miller talks about injuries.
That is terrible. Might be accurate, but that's terrible. I got it. Maybe he is. Mm. Maybe he is.
I wonder if he's. It would explain a lot.
Is that right? Something you can diagnose?
I think so. I don't know. But it would explain a lot. And to be honest with you, it would probably, like, if it came out that that's what was going on, it would probably, like, back people off him a little bit. Because he's not. Number one, he's not always like super hurt. Number one, he's not. It's not something I don't think you have control over. You know what I mean? So he's not trying to be dramatic or trying. It's just it's a I don't know if it's a diagnosis, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, I wonder if it is.
I that might get people. That deal, to be honest with you, because we see it in the chat, might stop calling him soft. If you're like, no, man, it's not him being soft. This is a
well, is that like a
condition?
Go ahead.
No, I think I'm gonna hold.
Oh, you was about to. Yeah, Jesse was about to fire something off and was like,
"I want to be nice when we're talking about this."
And like I said, I'm not even trying to, like, I don't know, maybe it sounds mean. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm watching the game. I see him go down. See him, like, on the floor. Can't even get up. He gets up. He goes to the locker room. He comes back 15 minutes later and is going to work. I'm like, how can you be that down and out 15, 20 minutes ago, and then it's just I'm just back to killing.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like the only thing that makes sense.
Well, I don't know. How do you die? That's a psychiatrist that would do that. That's not
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And I don't even know if you can diagnose it in that way. We'll never know. Like, he'll never, like, go get tested or anything. Like, I don't think it'll ever happen, but I'm just sitting there like, maybe that's what's going on with him. Maybe he's not soft. Maybe he's not dramatic or anything. Maybe it's something that he has no control over.
Did we just solve Anthony Davis's career?
Maybe. He was killing last night, though. That's the original point. He was killing.
I don't know where to go.
You know when Dame goes silent, that means we're on to something. Because usually he'll call us idiots or something. Or like a bunch of children or whatever. But Dame is thinking like, hey, these buffoons are on to something.
I think it's interesting. Would it change how people talked about him? Because
If it came out that was the case, I think people would stop calling him soft.
I don't think they would.
I think
in today's age, when they're like, yo, you've got literally, it would probably be a mental health issue. Like, this is a, I think it's more so a mental health thing than it is, like, the doctor prescribing you as physically there's something wrong.
I feel like they'd be tougher on Anthony Davis. The jokes would fly more, I think. If we're talking Twitter,
well,
I
think the jokes are always going to fly. But
yeah, I mean,
Charles Barkley.
I mean,
like,
that's the thing. Yeah. Those are the guys that are going to come to my mind immediately. Charles Barkley and Shaq aren't going to change their tone.
Yeah, I think Chuck's going to Shaq like, "Hey, Shaq, be nice. You know he's a hypochondriac.
I didn't have any mental issues when I was a player.
Yeah,
man, it's because he's soft.
Maybe.
Whoa, Kenny.
That's hilarious.
It's not. You're literally the only one laughing. But bad impressions is your thing. Bad impressions is your thing. I don't think that stops anyone from talking about Anthony Davis the way that they do. I would hope that you're right, but I don't.
I think it does, though. Like, it may not stop everyone, but there will be people who are like, nah, man, back up off him, man. He's not soft.
You think Shaq would?
Maybe not, but Kenny and Ernie would. Like, right now, they don't say nothing. If it was diagnosed that was what was going on with him, Kenny and or Ernie would be like, "It's chill, Zach, chill." Mm. You know what I mean? Like right now, they just let them cook. And if that came out, I think one of them would be like, "Nah, man, come on, he's got a diagnosis for this." Mm. That alone is different than what we got right now, like the reaction and everything.
Hmm. Okay. How did we get here? Oh, yeah, the Lakers had AD had 40.
I think Kings
play the Lakers twice this week.
So also I'm watching that game, and I think it was on Saturday, maybe Friday. They asked JJ Redick. They said, you know, LeBron, he's supposed to be taking time off, for personal reasons or whatever the story was that was out there. And I think they asked JJ. They're like, JJ, how long is this supposed to be? And he's like, be honest with you, I have no idea. And I was like, oh, LeBron might be out for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I turned the game on Sunday, LeBron out there playing. I said, wait a minute.
They were talking like they had no clue where he was.
Right.
I saw someone tweet, bro, just ask his son.
No, that's the way they were talking.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea when we'll see LeBron again.
I read a tweet and I was low-key like concerned. Like, I hope LeBron is okay. Like it was legit like that.
Same thing. And well, then I turned the game on Sunday and there he is,
but I think
wiping his hands on his chest like this.
Yeah.
I was like, LeBron's really taking this father time thing tough. Like, you're going to be okay.
I don't know why they did that. I think that was a Lakers call.
To not say anything?
Yeah, they said he was out for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He was resting his foot.
Yeah, like he said it's his foot.
He's like, I'm trying to manage. Like, I didn't want to not play, but I'm trying to manage this issue with my foot. I know it's going to linger all year, but I don't know why it got so dramatic.
I thought it was a Dennis. They lost like Dennis Rodman or something.
Well, they had like a King schedule.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really missed a ton of games.
Right.
But he's been away like 8 days, I think, leading into last night. I think it was like 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, I think the last game he had played was the Friday we were at Sky River. I think he played against Atlanta because he missed the game winner after Trae Young made it. Right. And I don't think he had played all week.
Okay.
So after they talked, but to that point, I think they only had one game that week. I think it was Friday was the only game they had. And they asked him, maybe there was one other game that he missed like on that Sunday before, and
so he's missed like one or two games.
Yeah.
Okay. And acted like he was missing.
So yeah, I'm
like
thinking,
we were sending Amber alerts,
like Jesse said. I'm like, Saturday night, I'm like, yo, we gonna have to really dive into this on Monday. This is, nobody's talking about, this is crazy. Turn on the game, there's LeBron.
I was legit concerned.
Meanwhile,
for his life.
Bronny scoring 30. No, hey, is your dad all right? No, congrats on the 30, but
some of the reporter says, "Locker, is your father missing? Do you know where he's at?
Is he in Draymond's man cave?" We'll come back. Did you see Draymond's night last night?
I didn't see like the numbers. I saw the game, and
Did he punch someone?
No, Draymond was hooping last night.
He was hooping. I didn't see the numbers.
I saw
in the fourth quarter he was not hooping.
I think there were like 49 threes.
Yeah, it was an NBA record.
Hit between the two teams last night. Mm-hmm. I know. I think the Warriors had 27. Draymond had a bunch of them.
In the first three quarters.
Must have vomited. We'll come back. We'll talk about what went on in the association and what went on in the NFL. And We've got Kings basketball, and it wouldn't be Kings basketball without an injury.
Well,
guess we've got another one. We'll talk about it. We're just getting started. It's Steve KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
I was going to save this for later, but we can talk about it now because it's not really, like, it's not a long discussion, but looks like we're going to Vegas, huh? Next November, D-Lo and KC, live from Las Vegas. Let's go!
It's in Las Vegas, the November.
November, walk me through it.
Well, one of our favorite coaches is going to be there playing in the in a big money tournament.
Oh, yeah, I think they were there in March. No, what month are we in?
We're in December.
No, I think they were there in November. I think they did something there in November. You talking about Duke, right?
Yeah,
because they so what's the tournament next? Well,
they're there next November.
Yeah, what's
it's the players tournament. It's the money one, $1 million tournament.
Oh, okay, because they were there this November. She was there because she was there the weekend of Adele's last show and was trying to figure out how to go.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, let's go.
We'll go to the boss. We'll head to Vegas next November.
Yeah, we're there. We're there.
Okay.
And money's on the line. And, well,
you know, she gives me nothing, right? Like, I've been at, like, she has 4 million pairs of shoes lying around collecting dust, and I asked for one. She'll tell me, hey, I'm going to send you a box of, the box never arrives, ever. Between the time the phone hangs up to the time she goes and does her next thing, I get nothing. We were supposed to go to the All-Star game this year. She forgot.
What if it's on purpose? And like, this is like the little joke she's playing on you.
It probably is.
Like, look, I'm going to tell him I got tickets to the finals.
Yeah, I don't imagine. Yeah, like, I am the least of her concerns. So I'll put you in charge of getting tickets to the players tournament.
We'll be there because, well, you see, they got some good. That little four-team thing is going to be crazy. It's Duke, UCLA, Texas, and South Carolina.
Well, ask your girl, Dawn. Well, hell, you know what's funny?
I don't know Dawn.
I might be more likely to get a response from Dawn than anyone else there. Dawn, can you leave me a couple of tickets for me and my boy? Yeah, no problem. Angela will have them at the window. That'd be it.
That's going to be fun.
Hey, Kara, can you leave me and Kenny a couple of tickets? Yeah, no problem. Hangs up the phone. I know I was supposed to do something. Oh, well, let me call this recruit. That's life, bro.
They played the men's players tournament this year. It didn't really have that good of an attendance. But,
men's basketball right. Still a thing? College?
Absolutely. I'm watching it right now. Loyola
for you, Illinois, but...
Loyola Illinois versus USF in some... Milwaukee tip-off class.
Well, that's the game I was going to tap into, but since you're watching it, I guess...
Just lost 10 listeners right now.
Damn, man. Hey, lost the Causeway on Saturday. Damn. Sac State lost to UC Davis. Wasn't happy about that.
I forget the Causeway is even a thing in basketball, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd be forgetting.
Yeah. Davis lost in the playoffs.
A salute.
What, 6 turnovers? That's crazy.
Man, so as we said like 22 minutes ago, Kings start a 5-game homestand tonight.
That's right.
Against the Nuggets. I don't really know what to think about this game. Like, I think the Kings always match up really well against Denver. I don't think Denver, what are they, like 12-10 right now?
Something.
That seems like low. That doesn't seem like enough games played. 13-10.
Yeah, I was about to say three or four games over 500.
Yeah, they're 13-10 now.
Denver shoots some 38% from three, by the way. They only hit 11 threes per game, though.
Well, keep that.
One less than the Kings.
I guess that keep that number in the back of your head. 38%, would you say 11?
Yeah, one less than the Kings. We're at 12 per game.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, we've been trying to figure out, you know, Memphis 18-9, Oklahoma City 20-5. Is this what these teams are? Like, I look at Denver, they're 13-10, win percentage of 565. My gut's like, yeah, that's Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Denver is. Like, they're going to be about this for the bulk of the year. And, you know, now it's the Kings are a 500 team. You got to ask yourself, are the Sacramento Kings a 500 team? Is that what they are? Are they 13-13? Are they hovering around 500 the entire year? of course, I'm an idiot. And my answer to that is no, I don't think that that's what they are, which is part of what makes tonight's game really interesting. You know Jokic is going to play well. You know the two teams are going to match up well. You know Michael Malone is going to have a bug up his ass to beat Sacramento. And you've got the Kings who have won three straight and are looking to, you know, now that they've gotten back to 500, it's all right, let's get something moving here. And you got these huge, the right now they look like massive games with the Lakers, even though we're 26 games into the season. They feel like massive games with the Lakers coming up on Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah, this is goes to what, you know, I said, you know, at the end of last week, is this five-game stretch is, this is monumental for the Kings. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest stretch of games to date, all five at home, three of the five against guys, teams that you are directly trying to position with the Nuggets, and then two against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have the whole scenario of the Kings not being able to gain any traction at home.
Yeah.
And that has to
change. Game below 500 right now.
It can't happen. That has to change if you're going to be the team that you expect to be, that we expect you to be, that you want to be, that you want to be. And yeah, 3-2 not going to get it done. 4-1 is what I'm looking for at worst. And you've got to start it off the right way against a team like Denver, who, even if you think eventually they'll get back to their championship pedigree, I don't, but say you think that way, they're not there now. So you have to take advantage of where they're at right now at home and try and win this game. They need a nice little showing in this next 2 weeks or so, the Kings do.
If they were to go 4-1 in their next five, what are we saying about them at the end of that?
That they've corrected some of the things that were an issue before. Not a perfect team. Still got holes, still got things they gotta work on. But they're starting to settle in into who they are.
Okay. I mean, 4-1 is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
4-1 is a great number.
And like you mentioned last week, 4-1 would be 8-2 in your last 10?
Yeah.
They've won three in a row right now, or they've won four or five?
They've won four or five. They've won four or five, so you add the four to that.
10. Yeah. 8 out of your last 10.
That's a good look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good look. They might have to do it without Kevin Huerter. I'm not exactly sure. Kevin Huerter got hurt in the New Orleans game. Everyone saw it. He reacted to it. He just kept playing. Mm-hmm. By the time they got to practice, I think this was on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was, some imaging showed that Kevin's got an AC joint sprain, and he's not ruled out. He's just listed as day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And so you've got, you know, today, Monday, you've got Thursday, you've got Saturday, you've got Sunday. Like, you've got games in quick order here after a decent stretch between games. So, tough time for the Kings to deal with another injury.
And like we talked about,
albeit maybe not too serious.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things going on there. Number one, we talked about from Kevin Huerter's point of view, you know, you got to be concerned. You got to be kind of apprehensive because this is the same shoulder that got surgically repaired in the offseason. Different, I'm assuming different part of the shoulder, different. They're not, it's not the same injury to the same exact place, but it's the shoulder again. And maybe, you know, you're a little worried about that. Then when you talk about the Kings' perspective, you know, the bench play has been a concern. It's been something that has not been consistent for pretty much the entirety of this season so far, the first 26 games. And you have a guy that was supposed to be a big part of what you were doing with your bench production and your bench scoring, and now he may be out or may be hampered. Where's the scoring going to come from? Who's going to pick up the slack if Kevin Huerter isn't able to play? Where are you getting those points from? And that's a concern.
Well, Mike Brown says it's got to be by committee. In fact, his exact quote was, we've got to find it. We've got to find it by committee. It may not be one guy. Kevin's been playing well for us. Even when he hasn't shot the ball well, he's done a lot of little things that have impacted the game the right way. Mm. And end quote. That was Mike Brown at practice, courtesy of the Kings beat from our man James Hamm. And James opens his latest newsletter by talking about, hey, Trey Lyles was out there on the floor this weekend. So it's like just this, hey, we might see Trey back. I didn't realize until reading Hammer's newsletter, I didn't realize Lyles has been out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Man.
And the initial diagnosis was a 3 to 4 week reevaluation.
Yeah, I think it was 3 week reevaluation, yeah. But yeah, just as it appears maybe someone is on the way back. Mm-hmm. Again, Kevin Huerter hasn't been ruled out. He hasn't even been ruled out at tonight's game. Mm-hmm. He's just listed as day to day. So he's going to be dealing with something. He continued to play in the New Orleans game, but he was obviously uncomfortable. So yeah, just another thing the Kings got to do. I guess we finally have shed the healthiest team in the league label.
Yeah, just back to back seasons of dealing with injuries in and out. So like, hopefully they don't say that about them no more. But it also won't be used as
they also don't bring up right
as to why they're struggling.
Yeah, they don't bring that up.
Yeah,
they don't bring that up at all. But yeah, the bench scoring is that's going to be the thing, mm-hmm. whether it's Keon or Isaac Jones or whoever. There's going to have to be, and then you know you can't really have an off night from Malik or an off night from Keegan or DeMar or De'Aaron or anybody. Like the more it like withers away, like the more pressure, the more the bench withers away, the more pressure falls on that starting five.
And assuming Kevin Huerter, you know, isn't out for too long, if at all, but let's just assume he's out for tonight, maybe Thursday too. Like, I would look at that as you've been off, you played one game in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
You've been off since Friday. You play tonight. You don't play again until Thursday. I'd give the starters all the minutes they need
mm-hmm.
tonight
mm-hmm.
and, you know, probably Thursday as well because you'd be coming off a little bit, you know, two days rest or so.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be where, you know, you can kind of lessen the blow of losing a bench guy, bench scoring like Kevin Huerter potentially by just extending the minutes of these starters. You know, they've had plenty of downtime in the last – week and a half.
Yeah, no one played 40 minutes in the Pelicans win, even though it was 111 to 109. De'Aaron led the way with 37. No one played more than 34-17.
Mm.
I mean, that's a good chunk of minutes, but it's not 40. It's not 42,
right,
which we had seen. You know, DeMar had a couple of those. Keegan had a couple of those mm-hmm. Early in the season. So, you know, the one game that you've played wasn't, you know, crazy,
right?
And now you've got a second one here,
and also I say that saying, if you need to, right? You start your rotations, you do whatever you normally do. If Keon is hitting, you know, if Jay Crowder's playing and he's giving you shots, that buys you more time for these starters on the bench. But if you go out there and it's looking iffy off the rip, don't hesitate if you're Mike Brown to go right back to them starters when you need to, because you got to win these games.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to start winning at home. Like you brought that up to start this conversation. They're 6-7 at home.
Hmm.
Like, come on, man.
It's not good enough.
6-7.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
And I hate the thing that frustrates me the most is they all acknowledge this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I think I don't remember if someone, we talked about this line a week or so ago, how, you know, that I think it was the Beam team year, they had a better defensive percentage on the road than they did at home, and they acknowledged, like, yeah, sometimes you just kind of you rely on the home crowd to carry you and lift you up in certain spots. And so I believe there's something to playing at home. There's something to maybe changing the style of play a little bit at home.
Mm.
They all acknowledge this offseason, yo, we've got to be better at home. I mean, and they would do the math. All right, man, you know, you win a couple more games at home. We're not even talking about the play-in. We're talking about the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think that's been one of the toughest parts about this 6-7 start to the Golden 1 Center season is they all acknowledge they need to be better. They just can't.
Hmm.
They just can't be better at home. And it's frustrating to try to figure out why.
Is that, would you say their play at home is the single most important thing for them trying to become a bona fide playoff team?
The single most important thing?
And I asked that before you answer. I asked that saying, like, if they figured it out at home and Golden 1 Center became a home court advantage,
mm-hmm.
and they were cooking at home, doesn't it feel like everything else falls into play?
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team that happens.
Yeah.
Like a top six team, for sure.
It feels like everything else falls into play, and it may be a chicken and egg situation, because if they're able to win at home, that means they're probably shooting better, or they're getting better bench production, or something like that. So, you know, you could pick which one came first or whatever. But I think if you, however you get it done, if you find a way to be more successful at home, a lot more successful at home, I think everything else falls into place on the road, and you can achieve some of your goals that you had in front of you.
Yeah, so the Jazz game, the Spurs game, that was in San Antonio, right?
They played one there, one here.
The last one.
Oh, the last one, yeah.
Yeah, the one for, yeah, that the one where we were at Sky River. That was in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had that stretch of three home games where they were hurt. I mean, DeRozan was out for Minnesota. DeRozan and Sabonis and Monk. DeRozan and Monk were out for all three. Sabonis missed the last two. And that's where they had Mason Jones, Isaac Jones, or whatever, and they end up going 1-2 in that home stretch. But it doesn't explain, you know, the Clippers game where they, you know, shot like crap. The Brooklyn game where they couldn't make anything. The OKC, yeah, you're at home, probably lose to those guys anyway. But then San Antonio at home, you know, and they were up a good amount in that game and let San Antonio come back. So they're not playing complete games right now anywhere, but especially at home.
Got to change it. Got to change it starting tonight. Five games at home. Yeah, five games at home for the Sacramento Kings. We'll monitor the situation with Trey Lyles throughout the day, but it kicks off a stretch where you've got Denver coming in tonight. You got a couple of games against the Los Angeles Lakers on Thursday. You got another one on Saturday. You got a back-to-back with Tyrese Halliburton and then the Indiana Pacers coming through on Sunday. And then the home stretch closes out with a post-Christmas game against Detroit. Mm-hmm. So it's right there. Those Laker games are huge. Hell, this Denver game is big. It's a 13-10 Nuggets team. The Nuggets, Lakers, Kings, they're all kind of in the same vicinity. These are big games.
Well, if you look at the schedule right now, the Kings are 12th in the standings. They're a game and a half back from 5. You know, and if you look from 5 to 10, we'll just stop it at 10. Denver, it's a half game separation from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams.
Yeah.
You know, 5, 6, the Nuggets, the Suns, the Timberwolves, and the Warriors, they're all 6 back of Oklahoma City. The Clippers and the Lakers are 6.5 games back. So these are some big games, and you can gain some traction in that Western Conference by having a good week. You know, if maybe that week is going 2-1. You know, maybe you cut it down a little bit, but you beat Denver, you beat the Lakers at least once. That might put you at 7th or something like that. So this is also an opportunity. We talk about playing better at home, but this is also a really big opportunity to cut into those Western Conference standings, to gain some traction in that Western Conference by winning some games on your home court. It's twofold what could happen if you play successfully or play good basketball in the next week and a half or so.
And maybe we'll see Trey Lyles here during this 5-game homestand.
Maybe. That was good to hear that he was out there on the court. And I don't know whose minutes he's taking. Maybe Mason or Isaac Jones minutes. You know, maybe you get more Trey Lyles there. Maybe
he's not playing tonight. She'll point that out.
Right, right.
Like
right.
Mike said, he's not playing tonight, and he's probably not playing Thursday either. But he's out there.
Right. Which is the first step into all of this. I don't want to speculate. I think, you know, cautiously, just give him another week, you know, get him out there in practice, see how the calf reacts. Because, once again, like we always talk about, you don't want to mess with that. You don't want to rush that back if you don't have to. You want to make sure it has all the time to heal, gain the strength back into that calf and the lower leg and everything. Because you don't want to mess around with that at all with the calf strain.
Definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. And Trey, and the tough part for Trey is, you know, he was working his way back already and hadn't. And we were all kind of looking at Trey like, come on, dog. Where you at? And now he's gone. And now, you know, now, all right, Trey, like, look, man, gonna need you to be good. You know, sorry about the whole multiple injury things here 3 months into the season, but we're going to need you to be good.
Yeah.
You're important to what they do. And we're kind of at the point, dog, where if you're not, your name's going into the trade machine 10 times out of 10. Which last year we thought, man, we ain't trading Trey. He's too important.
Right.
But that's how horrible we are as fans. We're you're struggling. Oh, damn cab. Well, ship him off. Hell, you could tear your ACL and get traded. In if you got if the math works with the contract, your ACL could be shredded and you could get traded.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, like, all right, do what you got to do. Be home anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And I probably wasn't going to be here next year anyway. So go ahead, do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do.
Trey Lyles is not in that situation, though. But to your point, he's got to produce, because the Kings have to win right now. We're talking about Monty McNair, his job, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he may want Trey Lyles to be around or other Kevin Herter to be around, but if they don't start winning games, tough decisions are going to have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And this is unfortunate. You know, I saw a video over the weekend of, it was game two of the Warriors game, and they just won and everybody was happy. And the video was the TNT broadcast, and you look at the broadcast and everybody's dapping each other up. Hey, good game, you know, on the Kings. And like almost none of them are there anymore. And it just goes to show, like, we love that team. We're like, beam team, this is great. And I think Sabonis might have been the only one in the little clip I saw that was there. It was Metu. It was TD. It was Davion. Yeah. It was Harrison. Yeah. That's how these things move.
Yeah.
You got to win. You've got to win. And then sometimes, in some cases,
it's crazy to think that many people on that team are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And if you want to win, sometimes you got to make some tough decisions to get rid of. I'm sure they love Harrison. I know they love Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
I know they love Davion. But you got to do what you have to do to win. And that may be what they're facing with guys like Trey Lyles and Kevin Herter.
All right, we'll come back. Eagles and Bills grab wins in a couple of marquee games yesterday. We'll talk about those. We'll take a look around the NFL. Shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll tell you why. When D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we got Kings basketball tonight, and we've got two Monday night football games that no one asked for.
I got a little bit of a take. You know,
okay,
we can get to it. You know,
well, you can fire off that take after I remind everybody to go to ESPN1320.com and enter to win tickets to see the Sacramento Kings take on Miami, January 6th at the Golden One Center. ESPN1320.com. All you have to do is go in there, click on the Kings logo, and enter to win tickets.
That had our boy James. A little bit in the chokehold.
Better way to let them know that they're playing Miami.
Yeah, like well.
Yeah, I know the reads.
Yeah, that's not James's fault.
I know. Yeah. I know.
That's not James' fault. I figured that out on the fly as I was about to say it. I was like, I don't think I can say that.
I'm not glad I was watching to see if you'd catch it or not.
Yeah, the team from Miami.
I had to learn
which
the hard
is so
way.
Weird.
I think it was last year. It was against the Blazers or something like that. I was like, yeah, they're playing the Blazers. Can't say that, Kenny.
It's really ridiculous. We can say the Sacramento Kings are playing Miami.
Miami what?
There will be 12 players from the city of Miami here to play basketball on that day.
Yes, they will.
So we were talking a little bit about previewed football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills going to Detroit, get a big-time win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out on the Lions.
Can't with this guy.
Come on, bro. What?
I'm out on the Lions as far as the Super Bowl team.
You've been M&M all year.
I'm going to tell you why. It's not them. They just keep losing people, and they keep losing them to season-ending injuries.
Yeah, well, they lost another one. They lost. Oh,
they already, like, brutal. I remember when I was kind of doing the research on them before the Packers game. That was Thursday night. People were like, oh, man, they keep losing guys. Like, it's looking kind of iffy. Like, as is, it's looking kind of iffy. They mm-hmm. can't afford to lose anybody else. And they lost, like, three or four more guys.
Yeah, and they lost David Montgomery today.
And it sucks. Like, it really sucks. Like, I think at whole, like, they're a Super Bowl-type team.
Yeah.
But that doesn't look like it's going to be the case.
Well, that's not how it works either.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be the case. And I don't know if defensively they have enough to stop the Eagles or even the Packers. And here's the other part of this, because I think when they're healthy, I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC.
I don't know that they are, though. That's the thing.
Fine.
Like injuries or not, I don't know if they're the best team in the NFC.
That's fine. I think they are, but with them being how they are, I think it just completely opens up the NFC. Eagles might be the best team, but it opens up the door for a team like Green Bay, like Jesse likes.
Sir, we busted through that door a long time ago.
Still hadn't beat a team that's any good. I mean, that last night just. Oh, man. Niners weren't going to go anywhere anyway, so it don't matter. But losing to the sorry Seahawks. Seahawks are whack. They're not good at all. Rams, go ahead and do what you do. Don't give anybody a round one bye by playing the Seahawks. I hate losing to sorry teams. That's what we did, man. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm confused. What are you talking about?
Well, you're talking about the Packers. Like, they beat somebody last night. They beat the Seahawks. Seahawks ain't no good. They're not any good. Like, they're an average at best. Everything that everybody says about the 49ers is what the Seahawks are. They're no good. they're no good. So, to say all that, the Packers, they didn't kick down no door yesterday. Because just the week before, they played the Lions, the game that I said they had to have, and they couldn't get it done. So, but they're good. They're good. And the Lions' demise opens up the door for the Packers. Opens up the door for the Vikings. I said a couple weeks ago, I don't think the Vikings are that good without what I thought was the clear best team in the NFC. Without them being there, it opens up the door for all these teams.
Okay, now that you regurgitated a bunch of nonsense, the Lions are a good football team. They're decimated by injuries. They weren't the best. They weren't the clear-cut favorite either. I mean, you could talk favorites, Vegas. Like, the Eagles are a hell of a football team. They beat your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers, though, because I was banking on one thing, and that was Saquon Barkley at less than 100.5.
Mm.
And that brought home the bank for your boy, because I wanted to go Tyrese, but I wanted to go Tyrese more. They had him at 17.5, and I'm like, I don't think so. Mm. He finished with 21. But I stayed away from it because it killed the gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I went with Saquon. Give me Saquon at less than 100.5. And Pittsburgh held him, I think, to 60-something.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I'm not sure that Nick Sirianni didn't hold him to 60-something. He didn't see the ball a ton, particularly in the second half. But that was a quality win by the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, talking about a passing game, a problem. A.J. Brown got nothing but targets yesterday.
They did.
Targets upon targets. And I don't know how we got here because Nick Sirianni was out of here in week three. But this is a 12-2 football team now who has playoff experience, who has that big game experience, and they're hitting on all cylinders right now. I think there are a lot of teams in the NFC that could come out of the conference.
I think so, too, now.
I think that was the case 3 weeks ago.
Okay. I mean, I thought it was Lions and Eagles. Were a step above the other teams. But
don't hate that.
But now you, I don't want to say eliminate the Lions. That's not fair. But now you bring them into question. And once again, it opens the door for those other teams to take advantage. Packers, Vikings, even the Rams to a certain degree. The Rams, I don't see the Rams making a run, but they're playing good right now. And you got to respect that. So, yeah, hell, Baker. You know, they're a wild card whenever they play with a guy like Mike Evans, who is a true game changer. Mm-hmm. And if him and Baker can be locked in for 3 weeks, maybe they can make a run. So
yeah, they beat the crap out of the Chargers yesterday. That was a little, little bit unexpected from your boy.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought what I saw, the moral of the story is what I saw from the Lions has me out on them being able to go to the Super Bowl. I just don't think they have enough on defense with the injuries. It's not. Oh, they're just not good enough whole. Like, I think they are good enough, but at some point, you know, when you got a whole second string damn near as your defense, that's going to take a toll going up against teams like Buffalo, mm-hmm. like Philadelphia, like Green Bay.
Well,
like,
good thing like versus Minnesota. Buffalo, nobody played defense. That was the good news in yesterday's game.
That's true. Defense was optional.
That's wild, man. 494 yards, 5 touchdowns for Jared Goff. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 14 receptions, 193 yards, one of 200-plus yard receivers, and they lost. Mm. I think Schefter tweeted it. Didn't Goff throw a 5-interception game that they won?
Yeah.
And he threw a 5-touchdown game that they lost.
Yeah, the Texans game that they won and then lost yesterday.
And the Schefter types have firmly put the MVP trophy into the hands of Josh Allen today, and rightfully so. His numbers are phenomenal. I heard future San Francisco 49ers coach Rex Ryan talking about this today briefly. I promptly shut it off immediately after he said this, but he was like, if anybody votes for anybody else, strip them of their vote. They're an idiot. All right, jackass. Lamar Jackson has 39 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. I think Josh Allen has like 37-5. Josh Allen's got like 11 touchdowns if I counted right on the ground. Like, his numbers are nuts. Mm. Like, absolutely insane what Josh Allen is doing this year. He's leading a group of quarterbacks that are having really, really good seasons. And for me, it's Josh Allen and it's Lamar Jackson. But Josh Allen has had the moments. Lamar Jackson has not. And the long-awaited crowning. This is damn near Luka Doncic level. They have wanted Luka Doncic as the MVP for so long. Mm-hmm. They've wanted Josh Allen to be the guy for so long. He's the guy now.
He's the guy. He's ascended to this. And he was already a really good quarterback.
Very good.
But he's stepped his game up. He's elevated his team to another level. This year and last night, yesterday, he was fantastic. He was unstoppable in that game against Detroit. And even in the game the week before against the Rams, I mean, they mm-hmm. put up, what, 40-something points in that game or high 30s or something like that.
Yeah.
He's playing at a lights-out level right now.
I'm looking for – there he is. Oh, it's not as many as I thought. I was looking to see how many yards he had rushing, 484. I think Lamar's at like 600-something. Mm. But Josh Allen at 484, but with 11 touchdowns to go along with his 25 passing touchdowns. So 36 total touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's at 3,395 yards. Mm.
Cooking. Absolutely cooking.
And the number one thing, because I'll pull up Lamar's numbers too, the number one thing that he has that Lamar doesn't is he has, man, Lamar has more passing yards and passing touchdowns. Goodness gracious. He actually
less
leads.
Interceptions though, huh?
Lamar Jackson actually leads Josh Allen in every category, every single one of them.